Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, how are you guys? Man, I am so happy to see all of you. Can we give a hand to all of our VIPs today? All right. Give a hand to the people sitting beside you, whether they're VIPs or not. We're just happy you're here. I'm excited about this new series. This is us. What we're going to look at over the next several weeks is our cultural values as a church. Everything we've been doing with the move to Lipo, the series that we've been going through, it's all been intentional leading us somewhere. The last few weeks, we've talked about our vision points. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. That's our vision for every single person that comes into this building. That's what I believe is God's vision for you and every other person on the planet. So we spent several weeks talking about what is your next step. Those are our vision points. And so the next few weeks now, we're going to look at our cultural values as a church. They are real, relevant, and relational. So this week, we're going to look at the first one, real. You know, real is not fake, not artificial. It's genuine. When we were back in the U.S., I guess a couple months ago, we were there for a couple of months. You guys probably noticed because I wasn't here. If you didn't notice, that's really sad for me. Like, what? You were gone? I didn't, but I was gone. And when we were in the U.S., we watched this game show on TV. It was called To Tell the Truth. And what they did in this game show, they had three contestants. And all three contestants were standing at this panel. And all of them had to try to convince the judges that they were this certain thing. So, for instance, the episode we watched, all three of the people on the stage were trying to convince the judges that they were a real live ninja. So every one of them talking and the judges listening and the judges asking questions. And then the judges said, wait, this is difficult. How can we tell who is telling the truth or not? Because one trait or characteristic of a good ninja is deception. So it was so hard for them. But when they finally figured it out, one of them is a real ninja. And two of them were fake or imposters. They were pretending to be a ninja. So when we talk about our cultural values as a church and talk about being real, it's because we want to be a church where you don't have to come and pretend that you are something that you're not. We don't want to be a church that you have to wake up on Sunday morning and put your mask on and come to church and pretend like everything is going great in your life. Sometimes it's not, right? So you don't have to come and pretend, hey, everything's been great. You meet someone in the lobby and they say, hey, how are you? And you say, blessed and anointed, brother. But on the inside, you're hurting. On the inside, you're struggling. We want to be a church that is real, that you don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to pretend. You can come as you are with what you're dealing with, and you're here among other real people. Any real people here? We're all real people, right? No imposters, aliens in the... No, we're real. We're real people. When Pastor Carrie and I were putting together all of the pieces to plant IC Medan years ago, when God was putting the vision in our heart, one exercise we did was to write down all the words that we felt like God was leading us to use that would describe this church. We wrote down several different words, and in the end, we shrunk it down into three words when we prayed and said, God, what should this church look like? And those three words were real, relevant, and relational. That's why it's our cultural values as a church. It's why it's our DNA. So the first word, of course, is real. And so we're going to talk about that today. It's why this series is called This Is Us, because this is who we are as a church. I believe this is who we are supposed to be as Christians. So the first word is real. We wanted to plant a church, a life-giving church in the city of Medan that was for real people. a church where real people who are struggling and need help, real people that maybe they failed that week, they can still come to church on Sunday and not feel like they have to hide. So the first point is, we are real people. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us that everyone has sinned. All of us have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we don't have to come to church and pretend like we've never sinned. Every single one of us in here. I'm not going to ask us to raise our hands because that's uncomfortable. But we know that every single one of us in this room is a sinner. We don't have to come on Sundays and pretend like, hey, we're perfect now. Our past was perfect. Everything's perfect. We don't have to pretend. Another thing we read in Romans chapter 3 is that there is no one righteous, no, not one. There's no one perfect, only Jesus. Only Jesus is perfect. Only Jesus is righteous. We aren't perfect, but we strive to be perfect because our goal is to be like Jesus, right? We're not there yet. Anyone there yet? You're like, I came in today. I'm already like Jesus. I don't even know why I'm at church. No, that's our goal. That's what we're running after. I want to be perfect because God is perfect. And that is what we strive for in life. That's what we are chasing after. It's a lifelong pursuit to be like Jesus. I was reading some things that the Apostle Paul said this week. Or he didn't say it this week. I was reading it this week. And it was very encouraging because I think for many of us as Christians, Paul is one of the standards we set. You know, I mean, Jesus is the standard, but sometimes we think, well, maybe we'll look to someone who's just all man, all human, you know? And we look to Paul and think, man, he is a hero of the faith. Even the standard we feel like he left is hard for us. Well, maybe I can't be like Paul. Maybe I could be like, we look for a lower standard. Our standard should be Jesus. But when we look to Paul, he even said some things like this. This great man of God, this hero of the faith. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, when he was talking to the church in Philippi, and he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Paul was saying, hey, I haven't gotten there yet either. I'm still chasing this. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be perfect because my Father in heaven is perfect. I haven't obtained this yet. I haven't reached the goal. Paul was saying, I'm not perfect either. I'm trying to get there. That's the pursuit. I haven't arrived at the goal. I haven't obtained it, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. And he knew what the goal is. Hey, I'm running at the goal. I'm not there, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to keep running. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to quit. Then he said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. Man, for me, when I read that, I'm like, shoo, because I'm standing up here speaking to you guys, and I'm not coming with eloquence or human wisdom. You know, when we think, man, Paul must have been an amazing speaker, and I just always assume he must have been so eloquent and so wise even in his choice of words, but he was saying, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom. The power that he had was from the Holy Spirit. It says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. And that doesn't even sound like the Paul that we look up to or the Paul that we set as a standard. He wasn't saying, hey, I came to you in strength and power and eloquence. He was saying, I came in weakness, in fear and trembling. Paul was saying, hey, I'm not perfect. So if you're not perfect either, it doesn't disqualify you. He was saying, hey, I'm pursuing this. I'm chasing after this. And he's inviting people, why don't you run with me? Let's run together this race to be like Jesus. If you feel like you're not perfect yet, hey, no problem. I'm not there yet either. Let's run together. Let's run after the goal. Let's seek to be like Jesus. One problem we make as humans is that we assume that we are the only ones with problems. Have you ever made that assumption? Have you ever assumed that you're the only real person in the room? And I'm the only one here that's having financial issues. Everyone else is doing great, so I better put my mask on and say, bless you, bless you, bless you. Man, I'm the only one that must be having marriage problems. No one else in the room. They're all perfect. I'm the only real person. I'm the only one struggling with this or struggling with that. I'm the only one that fell and sinned this week, and I've been feeling shame and guilt all week long, and we feel like we have to pretend and we have to put on masks. When we feel like we can't be real, we assume, man, I must be the only one that's real in the room. But everyone is a real person. Amen? We are real people. We are all real people with real problems, with real issues, with real struggles. We feel real things, real disappointments, real frustrations, real hurts, real pains. All of us experience all of these things. We're not always the husbands and fathers that we want to be. Can I get an amen from the husbands and fathers? We're not always the husband and father we want to be. We want to be better. We're not always the mothers and the wives that we want to be. We're real people. We miss the mark sometimes. We're not always the children we want to be to our parents. We're not always the friend that we want to be. Sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we're in depression. Sometimes we feel lonely. We're real people and we face real struggles. Sometimes we struggle with real sin and can't seem to get free. We're real people. And this is a church for real people. This is a church where I want real people to be comfortable to say, hey, I've been struggling this week, but I'm going to go to church. I'll just take my struggles with me. Man, I've been hurting this week. I'm going to go to church and take my hurt with me. I can be real there. I can bring these things. I can be real. I don't have to put the mask on. I've felt lonely this week. I'm going to go to church and take my loneliness with me. Because God is here, and he's here for real people. One thing that I love about this series that we're going to do that's different, that we've never done before, is every week I'm going to have help delivering this message to you. Every week we're going to have some testimonies that we're putting on the screen. So we're about to show you one that we did this week because I didn't want to just talk to you myself about being real people. I wanted you to hear from some real people in our church. So I'm going to ask the media team to play this first testimony. We have two testimonies from people on our team this week that we'll share with you. We'll watch the first one and then the second one later. But I think this will really bless you as you hear from real people like you, like me, who God has helped in a real way. So let's take a look at this first video.
I remember that on one morning, out of the blue, I promised to myself that I wouldn't serve in any church anymore. And then I keep blaming God. Like, God, I gave you my time, my energy, my everything. Why do you let this happen? And then, like, long story short, I go to IC Medan. And then the next day, I still remember when I go to Hermes. And then when I step off my car, like, Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry step out at the same time. It's like, both of them is speaking yesterday. What are they doing in here? And then after that, we have a coffee in Killini that time. So after they done with everything, they have like a bit time for me to have coffee. I was like, well, this is the pastor. With me, I've been in a position where pastor is like a super high people. Then you have to like really polite with them, really anything. But it's like when I talk with them, it's like I'm talking with a friend. I give them my concern. And then I still remember till this day, Pastor Chris said to me, Gary, IC Medan is not a perfect church, but one thing for sure that I can promise you, we will not have a politic inside our church. And then Pastor Chris said to me, it's like, it's okay, Gary, for not to be in the same thing. As long as you're hanging out with us, it's okay. I was like, oh, this is weird. Usually people is like, come and join our team, we have to sign up. And then in here, Pastor Chris is like, it's okay, as long as you're having fun in here. And then I still remember when they do like growth track that time in a Ruko. I still remember like all the paper and everything is so thick, the growth track. Like when I see this, it's like my brain fried at the same time. So I was like, ooh, this is the chance for me to learn more about the church. And then while I was learning about the church, I think that this is like a unique church for me. It's like their vision, their mission, knowing God, finding freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. It's like, this is new. And then, long story short, here I am in one of the dream team. I was like, I promised to God not to serve anymore. And then God said, I was like, all right, I know that your promise is like, but wait for some more years. And then, look at it right now. I love IC Medan, like, crazily in love with IC Medan. So, yeah. And then, gradually, I listen to the sermon, I listen to the music. I think like even some of the picture that the IC Medan have, there's still me in the first year that standing there, like really judging and everything. It's like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. It's like me full of hatredness and then trying my best to spread my negativity around. And then turns out in here, they close the negativity, not they close it. They destroy the negativity by being positive. By being positive that much that out of nowhere, a random person shakes my hand saying that it is so good to see you here. Hopefully to see you next Sunday. Deep down in my heart, it's like, who are you? Why? Why? It is unusual in my culture. Out of nowhere, you say something, a good stuff. If in my culture, if you do that, that means that you want something out of from me. But turns out, it's none. They just purely bring up the God vision in IC Medan and then spread the positivity. And I'm one of the person that need the positivity, but are really shame, like embarrassed to ask for positivity from someone else. And then this church, it's like they spread up that thing, even though that do you need it or not, they'll just keep like spreading the positivity. So for me, it seeps down in my heart, and then I was like beginning more and curious about God, about this church, about the people. And then as I get curious, I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to watch online sermon. I was like, what is this? It's like, is this normal? And then, but deep down in my heart, no matter what kind of position or anything that you have, deep down in my heart, I was like, I want to be that positive person. So mainly, I'll take the first step of by doing what that guy done to me. Even though that there's a lot of people have that like judging, I look, it's like, why you become positivity? But I tried my best to keep on doing that, being intentional of positivity. And then turns out, the more that I learn about Jesus, the more that I try to become like positive, turns out people say that, why are you being positivity? And then the chain of positivity walks around. It's like people saying that, hey, I want to be as positive as you. I'm starting to share to them. And then turns out right now they become even positive. And then it affects everyone. Like positivity is contagious. And I believe that is God's plan for me to encounter that positivity. The part where my heart is so dry, so bitterness, so dark. And then it's one of the time that actually God says that I still can make out of something from a negative person like you. So that I always say something like that. It's like me being negative, something like this. How about you guys? So that is for me. Man, IC Medan meant a lot to me. It's like, it's a family. It's a place of positivity. It's a place where I can recharge. It's a place where I know that from that life sometimes exhausts you. Life sometimes drain you, but I know in here I get recharged by the message, by the people in here. It's like a family. Like even my girlfriend out of nowhere, like during that meetup, he said that, oh, if you see Gary, he would die for his church. I was like, that, I know why she tell me that, because she saw how much I love about IC Medan. And then why I love IC Medan, because it made a significant change in my life. But this church, it changes me like no one can do it. I believe that God is working that time. I become that positive, I become encouraging. And me being intentional of showing to people that God is working in me. God is real. This is the God's love. So, yeah. the moment that I see Medan, like, taught me actually, even in the past, I was so afraid to take leadership role because I was insecure of my skill. I was insecure of me physically. I was insecure for me in everything. And then I'm like very doubtful. And then I cannot make a decision that time. But in here, in the IC Medan, I got the privilege of being a leader in here. And then one of the things that it is different in here, IC Medan really invest in the leadership. But really invest, it doesn't mean that, oh, you done leadership, we're going to give you food and then now get out. No, it's not something like that. But actually, IC Medan, for example, they buy something like online seminary just for the leaders. It costs hundreds of dollars just for us. And then they even brought us, like, they even paid for everything during that moment when they do the Hillsong conference. That is how much they care about the leaders. To be honest, I never had that kind of trip before. I never have a place where they believe me so much that they are investing in me. It's not that because I do a lot, it's not because that am I feel unworthy or not, but they simply can look the best out of you. And then they believe that God is actually working in you. You are still a work in progress. And they are really encouraging and really like giving you a lot of, like, they equip you on how to become a good leader. Even they, all the things that they share, and then they in here we call it the leadership rally. Is that the rally is really like that kind of leadership? It doesn't stop only at church.
All right, can we give Gary a hand? Maybe you feel like a real person like Gary, that you've struggled with negativity. Actually, if you know Gary, you wouldn't believe that. Then he struggled with negativity. Maybe you've had bitterness in your life. Maybe you've struggled with judging other people. Maybe you're real. And you see someone else that's real and see, man, God could change those things. God could take someone that's negative and make them positive. God could take someone who is judging and make them loving and welcoming. And God looks for real people just like you, just like me, and he wants to change us. He wants to work in and through our lives. There's a story in Scripture. Actually, it's a parable that Jesus told, a story that he told in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And when he tells this story, he even explains in verse 9 why he's telling this story. It says that to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So Jesus is going to tell this story, and the reason is because there were people around that were confident in how good they were, confident in how righteous they were, confident in how holy they were. And they felt like they were good on their own and they had accomplished this and done these things. And they looked down on everyone else and felt like, hey, I'm better than everyone else around here. And he says in the story that there were two men that went to the temple to pray, a tax collector and a Pharisee. And it says that when the Pharisee went in verse 10, it says, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And he went right out in the front and he's praying out loud so that everyone can hear. God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like everyone else around me, that I'm not like evildoers and sinners, that I'm not like adulterers, that I'm not even like this man who's praying over here. I'm better than all of them. I tithe, I fast, I pray. He's talking about all of his accomplishments. Jesus is telling this story. And I'm so glad that I'm better than everyone else. He was basically praying, God, I'm so glad that I am perfect, even though no one else is. But Jesus says that the tax collector, when he went to pray, he didn't even get close. He stayed back at a distance when he was praying. Have you ever felt like you weren't even sure how close you can get to God? You felt like, man, I've failed this week. I've sinned. I'm ashamed. I'm guilty. I don't even know how close. Maybe I should stand at a distance. Maybe you could relate to the tax collector who just stood far off, and he beat his chest and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Pharisees, oh, God, I'm so thankful, I'm perfect. And the tax collector is praying, saying, Lord, will you forgive me? I'm not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. I still need you. And Jesus tells this story that the one that went home justified before God was the tax collector. The one who was real, the one who recognized, I'm not confident in my righteousness. I'm not confident in my own holiness. I'm not better than anyone else. I don't even feel like I can stand up close to where everyone else is praying. Jesus said, that's the one who went home that day justified with God. That's the one whose prayer was heard. God wouldn't even listen to the Pharisees' prayer. The real one in the story was the one that was real. So why did we build a church for real people? Because real people don't need a religion. Real people need a relationship with a real Savior. Real people need a real Savior. It's not about a religion. We don't need a religion. We need a relationship. If we're real people, we need a real Savior. Point number two, we need a real Savior, and it's Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, a real Savior came to save real people like you and me. People who are not perfect. People who are not confident in our own righteousness. People who left on our own are not holy. He came, and even though he was perfect, he came and sacrificed himself and took our sins on himself so that we could not be confident in our own righteousness, but be covered in his righteousness. A real Savior coming for real people. In John 14, verse 6, it says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He understands pain. He understands relationships. He understands life. He experienced all of those things. He can relate to you. He can relate to the realness of your life. He came and walked on the earth so he could relate to what you deal with. He could relate to it. He's a real Savior who came to save real people. I want to show you another testimony. This is from someone special to us that's on our staff. And if you come here every week, and you know, people that are here every week, their English is on different levels. And you may feel like, my English is on a lower level. Hey, this testimony is in Bahasa, Indonesia. So this is your lucky day today. So we're going to have this. The text will be on there if you want to read English, but this testimony will be in Bahasa. I want you to hear from one of our staff members. So let's take a look at this next video.
Yeah. Menurut saya, IC Medan itu suatu keajaiban. Juga saya mengalami sendiri bagaimana berjejaring melayani dengan IC Medan, bahwa IC Medan salah satu tangan Tuhan, hands of God, untuk pribadi saya, juga untuk P3M, untuk pelayanan di prostitusi. Dan saya melihat, bahkan kenal IC Medan dari 2014, bagaimana IC Medan bisa berkembang, diberkati, itu benar-benar karena ada tangan Tuhan. Dan IC Medan itu melahirkan buah, melahirkan jiwa-jiwa untuk bisa melayani, dan orang yang datang itu juga mengalami berkat Tuhan, perubahan, itu yang terpenting. Kalau pengalaman saya pertama kenal Yesus itu, saya lahir dari keluarga Kristen. Papi mami udah Kristen, bahkan opa oma juga pendeta. Tapi yang saya alami itu, Kristen itu bukan keturunan. Saya ngalami Yesus itu memang harus benar-benar lahir baru. Saya benar-benar terima Yesus itu tahun 98. Tapi waktu itu masih jatuh bangun. Karena saya juga dulu sempat 6 tahun itu ada di prostitusi, di pelacuran. Di kota Medan, di Jakarta, di Singapura. Tapi ternyata yang saya alami menjadi orang Kristen belum tentu sungguh-sungguh bertobat. Tetapi yang membuat saya bertobat ketika saya benar-benar mengalami Yesus dalam hidup saya. Mengalami Yesus itu adalah ada perubahan, ada keputusan untuk bertobat, ada keputusan untuk sungguh-sungguh melakukan firman Tuhan. Nah, lalu beberapa tahun ini juga saya sempat melarikan diri ke Jakarta. Saya pikir dengan saya menikah, dengan saya punya anak, punya rumah tangga, saya mau urus rumah tangga saya aja. Tapi ketika di Jakarta 1 tahun, Tuhan suruh saya balik lagi ke Medan untuk ngurusin Fitri M, untuk melayani di Fitri M. Dan lagi-lagi ketemu IC Medan. IC Medan itu buat saya tangan Tuhan. Tuhan tidak mencari orang yang kaya. Tuhan tidak mencari orang yang terlalu pintar. Tetapi buat saya Tuhan mencari orang yang mau. Yang mau dipakai. Yang mau melayani. Seperti itu. Jadi beberapa tahun ini juga yang saya alami benar-benar saya itu dibawa hidup di dalam jalannya Tuhan. Gak kompromi. Berusaha untuk hidup benar-benar setia sama Tuhan. Dan saya ngalamin ketika saya menjadi salah satu staff di IC Medan, di Fitri M, ini benar-benar menjadi pagar buat saya untuk benar-benar melakukan apa yang Tuhan mau dan menjadi kesaksian bagi orang lain. Seperti itu. Ada beberapa momen sih yang penting. Yang pertama ketika Tuhan benar-benar ingin saya keluar dari prostitusi. Waktu itu tahun 2001 saya ngalami pendarahan. Ketika saya berhubungan seks, saya ngalamin pendarahan. Tapi ketika saya tidak melakukan hubungan seks, darah itu gak keluar sama sekali. Dan sampai hari ini saya gak pernah ke dokter untuk ngecek kenapa saya bleeding, kenapa saya sakit. Dan saya ngalamin ketika sakit itu saya alami, ternyata Tuhan mau saya berhenti dari dosa itu. Tuhan mau saya keluar dari prostitusi. Dan waktu itu saya benar-benar mendengar suara Tuhan. Tuhan suruh saya Bible School tahun 2001 selama 9 bulan di Siantar. Itu yang pertama, momen terpenting buat saya. Yang kedua juga bisa berhenti dari drugs. Tahun 98 saya pernah overdosis. Itu sampai 3 kali. Saya ngalamin benar-benar overdosisnya itu saya pakai ecstasy. Jadi kalau saya tutup mata itu ngerasa di bawah ini seperti neraka dan api. Terus kalau saya buka mata itu semuanya jadi zombie. Jadi hantu. Jadi perasaannya serba salah. Nah, ketika saya ngalamin itu, saya putuskan untuk enggak pakai drugs lagi. Karena saya ngerasa overdosis. Walaupun pakainya sedikit, tetap overdosis. Jantung berdebar, lalu feelingnya ketakutan. Seperti perasaannya seperti mau mati, tapi sangat takut gitu. Itu yang kedua. Yang ketiga momennya adalah ketika lahir Fitri M di Medan. Saya ingat dulu tahun 2010, saya sendiri ke jalanan ketemu perempuan prostitusi, ngobrol sama mereka, ngasih mereka kondom gratis, kasih informasi tentang HIV. Saya tahu waktu saya pertama kali ke jalan, ini adalah awal dari segalanya. Dan terbukti Fitri M ada sampai hari ini sudah 7 tahun. IC Medan buat saya adalah keluarga, sahabat terbaik, tangan Tuhan, buat saya IC Medan itu keajaiban Tuhan. Saya ngalamin waktu baca Bible. Kita gak cuman baca, tapi Bible itu dibaca untuk di diaplikasikan dalam hidup saya. Apa yang saya lakukan dengan Bible ini, dengan yang saya baca. Dan saya ngalamin IC Medan itu salah satu miracle-nya Tuhan buat saya. Waktu saya, kalau saya boleh cerita sedikit, tahun 2017 waktu saya pindah ke Medan, saya dengan suami itu benar-benar lagi stres, lagi di tempat yang terbawa, karena suami juga kerja belum langsung diterima. Kita benar-benar yang stres karena ada orang juga yang janji mau support P3M tapi orangnya menghilang. 2 bulan saya pindah ke Medan, saya enggak berani ke IC Medan karena ngerasa enggak bisa ketawa-ketawa karena lagi stres. Tapi malam itu suami saya bilang, ayo kita ke IC Medan. Kapan ke IC Medan? Udah rindu ke IC Medan. Dan saya bilang, oke, besok kita ke IC Medan. Dan waktu ke IC Medan, saya ketemu Ibu Kerry dan kita seperti yang terkaget. Terus kita buat janji untuk meeting dan akhirnya IC Medan ajak saya, ajak P3M untuk menjadi teman sepelayanan. Nah, jadi buat saya IC Medan itu, hands of God itu bukan cuman kalimat, tapi itu benar-benar kenyataan. Banyak doa-doa saya, ya kita bisa berdoa di mana saja. Tetapi saya melihat ketika saya di IC Medan ini, begitu banyak doa yang Tuhan jawab. Begitu banyak, dari mulai suami saya kerja di Batam, bisa pulang 2 bulan sekali. Waktu di momen doa puasa 21 hari tahun 2018 Januari, saya berdoa, Tuhan tolong, saya mau Tuhan kirim suami saya balik ke Medan. Saya gak tahu dia bisa kerja di mana, karena memang skillnya suami saya itu sangat sulit dipakai di Medan, karena skillnya itu di bagian mesin untuk kapal tongkang. Susah dipakai di Medan. Tapi Tuhan jawab itu di bulan 3. Cuma 2 bulan setelah berdoa. Untuk itu ketika ada doa-doa di IC Medan, saya gak bisa sepelekan itu. Harus serius, harus sungguh-sungguh. Berdoa sampai mujizat terjadi. Jangan berhenti berdoa.
Alright. And a church for real people who need a real savior. Real people who need a real savior. Just like you, just like me. And I love this saying that says that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Man, that's the truth. And Jesus has a beautiful plan for your life. Will you just open and real with him and say, Jesus, this is who I am. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Invite him into your life, a real savior, to come in and change everything. Man, I'm so thankful for these guys that shared today. Could we give Wilda and Gary one more hand? And could I ask the worship team to come up? When real people are in relationship with a real savior, we become the real church. The real church, big C, what Jesus started. When real people come into relationship with a real savior, we become the real church. Francis Chan said, the church is a group of redeemed people, saved or bought back people. Notice he didn't say perfect people. The church is a group of redeemed people who live and serve together in such a way that their lives and communities are transformed, serving and challenging one another. And a real church will welcome people. A real church receives, not rejects. A real church will shine a light showing the path to Jesus. That's what we do in our life, because a real church is full of real Christians. We're the salt of the earth. We remind people that they have a spiritual thirst, that they need God. We're the light of the world. We show the path to Jesus. So when people see your life, it leads them back. When people see your life, it should make them want to know him more. It should make them feel like, not that they have to stay in the back because you're so much better, but they know that Jesus has done something in your life and that even a tax collector can feel comfortable to come and stand with you, to come with you to church, a real church. Man, it's why, I'll tell you for one reason, it's why I even dress like this on Sundays. Because this is what I wear on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Not this exact same shirt. I change shirts. But I want to be real with you. I don't want you to see me on Sunday and I'm different than I am on Wednesday. I want to be real. Man, you could come wear whatever you want. Be yourself. Our only rule about the clothes that you wear is please wear some, right? Please wear clothes. That's the rule. But you can be real. Real people in need of a real Savior, invited to be the real church, living as real Christians. Man, I was thinking back when I was thinking about a time in my life when I was seeking something real. Years and years ago, man, I was struggling with drugs and alcohol and other things in my life. But I was, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, I wanted something real. I was seeking something real. Even going to drugs is because I was trying to find something real, something bigger than myself. I was reading books about philosophies and other religions. There was a church on the corner of my street, and I decided, hey, I'll try the church. I'll go and see if I can find something real there. And I went a few times, and then I remember one Sunday night, I was sitting there in church. I had long hair, bracelets. I still have bracelets. I had lots of necklaces on and earrings. And the pastor started speaking about people with long hair and bracelets and necklaces and earrings. Man, that feeling when I looked around the church and realized I'm the only one that looks like that. So the pastor is talking about me. That night, the pastor was telling me, you don't belong here. You're not like us. This is a place for people like me. It's not a place for people like you. Man, I remember I left the church that night. I told Pastor Kerry, we were still dating at the time. I said, I will never go back to church again. If it's not a place for me, I'm not going to go there. I didn't find something real. Who would know that God would call me later in life that I'm in church every time the doors are open, right? But if you don't hear anything else today, this is what I want you to hear. And it's why I wanted you to hear from some real people. That this is a place for people exactly like you. There's no one here that doesn't belong. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care where you were last night. I don't care what's going on in your life. This is a place for people like you. Can you turn to someone around you and say you belong here? Man, this is a place where we can be real. We're chasing something. We're not there yet. We're not judging one another. We're helping each other because we want to get to the goal. Would you stand with me, please? Man, when I think about being a real church, just imagine what can happen. Part of that is because I want you to be able to be open and be honest so that God can change you. Man, in life groups, so you can surround yourself with a group of real people with real struggles. They're just like you, but you're running in the same direction. Man, that is powerful. You can help each other. The other thing is this, when I think about being a real church, I want to be the church. I want us to be the church that when you have friends and family members that are far from God, you can be comfortable to bring them here. Man, I know that feeling when you have someone out there that's lost and you want to bring them to church, but you're afraid, hey, if they come with their tattoos and their bracelets and their necklaces and their long hair, someone's going to judge them and they're going to believe everything that they've always thought is true. And so you're afraid to bring them to church. I want you to know this is a real church. You can bring your friends. No one's going to judge them. Man, bring them with you. invite them, say, hey, this is a place for you. My pastor just said last week, it's for people exactly like you because we are all real people and we all need a real Savior.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.